The first reading for the Feast of All Saints is from the Revelation to St. John, chapter 7. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you When others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. The sermon title is "The Blessed and Their Kingdom." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Beatitudes, which are the words spoken by Jesus in our gospel for today, are one of the most well-known verses in the Bible. If you look around the walls of Christian homes, you'll often see plaques, pictures, or stitchery with Bible verses on them. The most popular of these Bible verses are Psalm 23, the Lord's Prayer, and the Beatitudes. I'm always glad to see Bible verses in Christian homes because these are God's words, and they are more significant and more comforting than any human words that you might put on your walls. The meaning of Psalm 23 is straightforward, and the meaning of the Lord's Prayer is explained in Luther's Small Catechism. But what is the meaning of the Beatitudes? It's not as simple as it appears, and so we're going to unpack the meaning today. I recommend that you follow the gospel in your bulletin insert. It's on the back, so you can see for yourself what I am talking about verse by verse. The Beatitudes are the opening part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and that extends from Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to Matthew 7, 27. The Sermon on the Mount comes after Matthew's report in chapter 4, 23 to 25, that Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom, and he healed many people. One way of looking at the Sermon on the Mount is to see it as the first sermon that Jesus preached in various places when he preached about the gospel of the kingdom. It was, in that sense, the church's first statement of the gospel. The biggest error that most people make in understanding Beatitudes is that they think it is something like rules for Christian living. For example, when they hear, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy," it sounds like a command or a law to give to charity or to take care of those in need. And it sounds like when you do that, God will bless you in this life. Many people understand verse 7 to be saying, "If you're nice to people, God will be nice to you." But that is not what this or the other Beatitudes are saying. In order to understand the Beatitudes properly, you first need to realize that they're all talking about things that happen to you or situations into which you are thrust, not good works that you initiated out of the goodness of your heart. They are situations to which you respond, and which often show how the Holy Spirit has done what we might call a makeover on your heart. The second thing you need to realize about the Beatitudes is that they are best exemplified, not by you and me, but by Jesus. They're really about the character and the personality of Jesus. Through the Beatitudes, Jesus invites his children to be like him, to follow his example, and become more like their master day by day. The third thing you need to do with the Beatitudes is to look carefully about whether the verse is talking about the present or the future, and they're somewhat different that way. If you look at verses 3 and 10, you will see that they are in the English in the present tense. They're that way in the Greek, too. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In the English language, that word is indicates present tense. And in these two verses, it indicates present possession, right now, of the kingdom of heaven. If you look at all the other verses, they're all in the future tense. Verse 4 says, they will be comforted. Verse 5 says, they will inherit the earth. Verse 6, they will be satisfied with righteousness. Verse 7, they will receive mercy. 8 says, they will see God. Verse 9, they will be called sons of God. And verse 12, your reward is great in heaven. And that's clearly in the future. These verses all belong together. Your reward in heaven, in the future, is what is described in verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. That is the reward of all the believers who are in heaven today, right now as we speak. Those persons who have believed in Christ and died are already experiencing this today. The saints in white robes described in today's first reading, Revelation chapter 7, are already experiencing the beginnings of comfort, heavenly inheritance, righteousness, mercy, the ability to see God, and the title sons and daughters of God. That's a present experience for them. Once you get this proper distinction between present and future tense correct, you can start unpacking the meaning of the Beatitudes. So let's look now a little closer at the present tense. The people who have the kingdom of heaven through their faith are poor in spirit, verse 3, and are persecuted for righteousness' sake, verse 10. Jesus tells such believers that others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, verse 11. Now, this is not really a cause and effect relationship, although it might seem like that by the word structure. This is more like when you join an organization, let's say like the AAA or the AARP, then you get a whole list of benefits. When you are a member of Jesus' kingdom, some of the membership benefits are that you will be poor in spirit, persecuted for righteousness' sake, and reviled and persecuted because of Jesus. Hey, what a deal! You get to be persecuted. Well, what does this poor in spirit mean? Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount changes verse 3 to, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 6, verse 20. This had led some modern theologians of the type known as liberation theologians to argue that Jesus prefers the poor to the rich and the middle class. And these theologians make it sound like this verse is a plank from the modern Democratic Party. But Matthew's phrasing of poor in the spirit indicates that Jesus was not talking about economic classes, but rather the feeling of inferiority that poor people and many other folk have for many different reasons. It means the feeling that others are much better than you. This meaning is explained by Paul in Philippians 2, verse 3, in a roundabout way, when he says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So that is an explanation of what it means to be poor in spirit, because every believer at least has the attitude of repentance and knows that he or she is a sinner before God. What does it mean to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? It means a lot of different things. It could mean that people don't want to be your friend because you want to do the right thing. It could mean that you're excluded from certain social occasions or groups because you want to do the right thing. It means maybe that the other guy gets the promotion or the other girl gets the guy because you want to do the right thing. It can mean, in some cases, being terminated from your job or run out of town because you want to do the right thing. And by the way, run out of town is what the word persecution means literally in the Greek. What does it mean to be reviled, persecuted, and slandered for Jesus' sake? It means that people make fun of you because you are a Christian. It means that some people think you're stupid because you believe everything the Bible says. It can mean in some cases that people make false accusations against you that cause you to lose your job, be sued, be jailed, or be run out of town. And in some extreme cases, such as today in China, Nigeria, or North Korea, it means that if you confess Jesus, you'll be imprisoned, tortured, or put to death. Now, what was Jesus trying to do here? Scare everyone away from the kingdom of heaven? No, he was just telling them the truth. Jesus was saying, "You've seen my power to heal and cast out demons. I have the power to raise the dead and give you everlasting life. You want to follow me? Well, here is the package deal." In other words, being a true believer in Christ is not a piece of cake. In some eras and some places, it can cost you your life. The rest of the Beatitudes, mourn, meek, hunger for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, and peacemakers, all these things refer to things that come from the attitude of being poor in spirit. If you know that you are a sinner before God and you're sorry for your sin and you trust in Jesus for salvation, the rest of these things just follow naturally. They're what the Bible calls fruits of the Spirit. May you continue to follow Jesus in spite of whatever the world may throw in your face, so that you may someday join all the saints in heaven who today see Jesus and are called sons and daughters of God. In Jesus' name, amen.